Afternoon, everyone. Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year.
I was just testing you guys to see if you're awake, if you're aware. No, Christmas is over. I know they still have the wreaths up here, but at our house this morning, the kids took one last picture in front of the tree, and then we took it down. So Christmas is officially over, and we're not going to have Christmas anymore. Just kidding. Happy New Year, everybody. Sawasdee pi mai kap tukkon. Okay. And then also, I'll say it in Korean as well, so I can triple the kind of blessings you guys get. 새해 복 많이 받으세요. And I'll even try Spanish, because I think we might have some Spanish speakers in here. Feliz Año Nuevo. Okay, all right. How do you guys feel about 2021? How do you guys feel that we are already 3 days in to the new year? We're in January. And I know that for many of us, 2020 was a very difficult year, challenging year. Certainly, globally, there were a lot of problems, whether it was because of the coronavirus or because of the economy or the travel restrictions. Who's happy to kind of see 2020 over with? And we're saying, let's see what 2021 has to bring. How many of you guys are excited about that? But you know, to be honest, for me, I was hoping that it would be cleaner and easier for us to know. Man, 2021 is for sure going to be so different than 2020 was. But, you know, when I'm reading the news, it just doesn't seem like we can have that certainty yet. Yes, I know we have the vaccine now, but there's still a lot of political uncertainty. They're still not sure if the vaccines are going to work. I'm hearing that sometimes people have allergies. And even in Thailand, actually, we've had probably more coronavirus cases in the last month than almost all of the time prior to that put together. And so there's still a lot of uncertainty. Like we're hopeful. And when we say Happy New Year, I think we're happy to have 2020 over with. But are we so sure that 2021 is going to be a happy new year for all of us? Or maybe for us individually? And you know, the thing is, actually for me personally, 2021 is already better than last year. How many of you guys remember what you did January 1, 2, and 3 in last year? You guys remember? Not really? Okay. And I will tell you exactly what I was doing on January 3rd of last year. Actually, the day before, on January 2nd, my son Isaiah had broken his arm at a trampoline park in Taiwan. And, you know, it was actually after a very difficult and challenging, tiring 2019. And actually, I remember heading into 2020. Yes, 2020 is going to be the new year. It's going to be different. It's not going to be 2019. And then on the second day of the year, my son breaks his arm. And so on January 3rd of last year, I was sitting in a hospital in Taipei, waiting to see what was wrong with my son's arm and hoping to be able to take a flight to come back to Thailand. So you know what? 2021 is already better for me, and I'm hoping that that's going to be the case every day of the year from here on out. How many of you guys are into the whole, like, New Year's resolution thing? Where you say, okay, well, you know, in 2020, because of COVID, and, you know, I'm just speaking for myself, I was home a lot, couldn't really go outside to exercise, you know, because of the lockdown, I probably ate a little bit more than I should have, and you know what? New Year's resolution, I'm going to lose about 15 kilograms this year. Wow. Is that too much? I don't know. My brother, actually, he was bragging to me last month when I talked to him. He said, yeah, I've lost 30 pounds, which is, I think, a little bit less than 15 kilograms. Okay, 15 kilograms might be too much. Maybe I'll shoot for 5 to 10, okay? But, you know, he told me that, and so yeah, maybe I need to care about my health and improve myself as well. And it's a common thing that people do. But why do we do those things? Why do we say Happy New Year? Why do we want to turn the page on the old year? And why do we want to sometimes make New Year's resolutions? And what is happiness, right? Actually, in Korean, when you say Happy New Year, you say 새해 복 많이 받으세요, which means actually in the new year, I hope you receive many blessings. And then in the Thai, when you say 사와디 pi mai, it actually means, I hope that in the new year, your welfare will be good, your well-being, just the state of your life in terms of security, that those things will be good. I heard that there's a way of saying Happy New Year in Chinese, where you're actually saying, I hope you make a lot of money this year. That's a way of saying hello. I'm sorry, not hello, but Happy New Year. And so what are the things that you want in your life? Think about this past year and the things that you didn't like. Think about the things that you want changed. What were the challenges that you had? And what are the things that you want that will be different in this coming year? What do you want to experience in this year? Is it related to money? Maybe it's related to a relationship. I know that Christine and Brent, they desperately want to get married in the new year.
You can do it.
Which, you know, they're going to be doing in a few weeks' time. But what are the things that you want in your life? Is it relationship? Is it money? Is it a new job? Is it being able to go on a vacation, have fun, to have a little bit more security? What is it that you really want to receive in this new year? What does it mean to be happy? Is happiness, like for me, if you were to ask my kids, like Joseph, hey, when are you really happy? And he'll say, I'm happy when I'm receiving a present or a new toy or a new video game or when I go down the zip line at Sing Park and we can experience that kind of fun and joy during that moment of time. But is that genuinely happiness? And when we talk about Happy New Year, what is it that we're talking about? And with that, I'll go ahead and invite you guys to open up your Bibles to 2 Samuel 13, 1 to 22. We're in the process of completing our series through the books of 1 and 2 Samuel. And so I'm going to be going over the story of Amnon and Tamar, which is a little bit dicey. And, you know, it's a difficult topic. And you're like, Dan, you're going to be talking about this on the first Sunday of the year. But, you know, I think there's something that God wants to speak to us through this story as well. So starting in 2 Samuel 13, 1 to 22. Now Absalom, David's son, had a beautiful sister whose name was Tamar. And after a time, Amnon, David's son, loved her. I think they had the same father, different mothers, Amnon and Absalom. And Amnon was so tormented that he made himself ill because of his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And it seemed impossible to Amnon to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very crafty man. That word crafty kind of reminds you of the serpent in the garden. It reminds you of Satan. And he said to him, "Oh, son of the king, why are you so haggard morning after morning? Will you not tell me?" Amnon said to him, "I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." Jonadab said to him, "Lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. And when your father comes to see you, say to him, 'Let my sister Tamar come and give me bread to eat and prepare the food in my sight, that I may see it and eat it from her hand.'" So Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. And when the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, "Please let my sister Tamar come and make a couple of cakes in my sight that I may eat from her hand." Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, "Go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him." So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house where he was lying down, and she took dough and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and baked the cakes. And she took the pan and emptied it out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, "Send out everyone from me." So everyone went out from him. Then Amnon said to Tamar, "Bring the food into the chamber that I may eat from your hand." And Tamar took the cakes she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon, her brother. But when she brought them near him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, "Come, lie with me, my sister." And she answered him, "No, my brother, do not violate me, for such a thing is not done in Israel. Do not do this outrageous thing. As for me, where could I carry my shame? And as for you, you would be as one of the outrageous fools in Israel. Now therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you." But he would not listen to her, and being stronger than she, he violated her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her with very great hatred, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, "Get up, go." But she said to him, "No, my brother, for this wrong in sending me away is greater than the other that you did to me." But he would not listen to her. He called the young man who served him and said, "Put this woman out of my presence," and bolt the door after her. Now she was wearing a long robe with sleeves, for thus were the virgin daughters of the king dressed. So his servant put her out and bolted the door after her.
And Tamar put ashes on her head and tore the long robe that she wore, and she laid her hand on her head and went away crying crying aloud as she went. And her brother Absalom said to her, "Has Amnon your brother been with you? Now hold your peace, my sister. He is your brother. Do not take this to heart." So Tamar lived a desolate woman in her brother Absalom's house. When King David heard of all the things, he was very angry. But Absalom spoke to Amnon neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had violated his sister Tamar. And we would read on from this passage to hear that actually he keeps his mouth quiet for a while, Absalom does, but ultimately engages in a scheme and ends up murdering his brother Amnon for what he had done to his sister Tamar. Now, what does this have to do with what you were probably hoping was a bright and cheerful New Year's message of hope? And the thing that I want to bring to your attention is that Amnon is somebody who had something that he wanted, and it's something that he needed. He was desperate for it, and as a result, it actually destroyed him, and not just him, but actually caused all kinds of relational damage in his family. It caused the king, David, to be very angry and ultimately ended up costing him his life. Now, what does that have to do with us? Now, what was Amnon's problem was that he was engaged in idolatry. He had this beautiful sister named Tamar, and he could have just been content with being her brother. He could have actually also been content with taking her to be his wife. It seems like that was something that was within the realm of possibility. But to Amnon, because of this desire that he had for his sister, it caused him to actually say that, because I want this so much, that I don't care whether it's God, I don't care whether it's the king himself, I don't care if it's my brother, I don't care if it's my half-sister, I'm going to have this at all cost. Now, when we talk about the things that we want changed in our lives, when we say, hey, 2020 was bad, and we want 2021 to be better, and when we say Happy New Year to people, we want them to receive the things that they want in their hearts. And actually, in return, we want them to say the same things for us, that they would hope and wish the same things for us and pray for us. What are the things that we want changed in our lives? What are the things that we desire? Because it's important for us to remember that the things that we desire, the things that we want, the things that are even necessities and needs in our lives, that if we actually put that above other people, if we put that above God, it's a form of idolatry and something that is not going to be good for us. What were the things that were difficult about 2021? Was there an aspect of you that struggled like Amnon? He made himself sick. He was somebody who was haggard morning after morning because he had this out of disorderly desire that he had for his own sister, rather than just trusting in God's goodness and being content with the things that he had in his life. And when you think about 2021, and you think about the things that you want changed, and think about the things that you want to see, the things that you want to experience, the things that you want in your life, is there any continuation of potential things of idolatry that you have in your heart? So what are the idols in your life? You know, actually our hearts are idol factories. We love to worship things other than God. And actually what Satan's job is and what he does, what he works in our lives, is to take our focus off of God, distract us, and cause us to worship something other than God. You will love me and you will have no other God before me is the first command. And actually, Satan tries his best. He's crafty and tries to cause us to not give God 100% of our heart, 100% of our love and devotion and worship. And sometimes he uses not just bad things. He doesn't try to necessarily use some things like alcohol abuse or drugs or bad things to try to cause us to deviate from our complete devotion to God. Actually, sometimes he'll use good things. So one kind of example of that, and this is something that a lot of people with children struggle with, is actually our children are very wonderful things. They're good things that we have in our lives.
But if in our hearts we allow our selfish desires that we have for our kids to rule over us, where we say, you know what, the children that God has given me, they're a blessing, and I'm supposed to steward them well, and I'm supposed to lead them in the things of God, we start to say things like, you know what, I cannot be happy unless I make sure that my kids have a good life. I cannot be happy unless I can ensure that my kids get a certain type of education. Unless we have a certain amount of money so that I can make sure that they're safe and they're provided for, then what's happening is that, you know what? My wholehearted devotion to God and my children's devotion to God, entrusting Him completely to be their provider and to be the one that is raising them and discipling them and disciplining them and ensuring that they walk in the ways of the Lord, what ends up happening is, you know what? Because I need this thing so much, I need my kids' life to be perfect. I need to make sure that they're happy. If that becomes an ultimate thing, then it causes us to want to become our own kid's savior. It causes us to care a little bit too much about our jobs, maybe, our work, because we are their savior. We are their provider, and we are the ones that are going to make sure that their lives turn out in a particular way. You know, and the same thing can be true of, let's say, a job. We say, hey, Lord, you know what? I want more than anything else to be a doctor. And I'm willing to pay whatever price. This thing is so important to me. It's something that I desire so much that I'm willing to do whatever it takes. It doesn't matter if I have to say no to all of my friends when they want to hang out. It doesn't matter if at school I'm going to step on other people to get ahead. I'm not going to help people. I'm not going to love and serve people. And Lord, there may be things that you're wanting me to do that are aside from that. This thing is so important to me. It's so valuable. I'm going to pursue that at all costs. It doesn't matter whether it offends God. It doesn't matter whether it actually is detrimental to other people. I'm going to pursue it with all of my life. What are some of those types of things that we need to be careful of? Because I don't think Amnon set out and said, hey, I want to make the king angry. Hey, I want to violate my sister. I want to offend my brother in such a way that he's going to come after and kill me. It was actually something just that he desired in his heart. And he loved his sister, and that wasn't a bad thing. And she was a beautiful girl, apparently. And you know what? Maybe he had a desire in his heart to have a relationship with her. That wasn't necessarily a bad thing. But actually, the way that he approached it, the way that he approached it outside the will of God, caused him to actually bring a lot of destruction into his life. And that might be kind of a way for us to figure out and find and test our own hearts and ask God and say, hey, Lord, is there something that is in my heart that I would want more than you? That even in my love of you and my service of you, if you don't give me this one thing, then actually I'm going to turn away from you and do it myself, do it in my way. How can we tell that maybe a desire that we have, even a good desire that we have, becomes something that is too big, it's too strong, and it's out of order with what God is wanting for us? And I think maybe one of the things is his health. We saw in the passage that he made himself ill because of his love for his sister Tamar. And actually, even from his friend's appearance, he looked like somebody who was haggard. He was down all the time. And you know, the thing that I've seen is that when God wants something for you, when he wants something in your life, and you pursue it according to the ways that he's wanting you to, actually, it's going to bring blessing into your life. It's going to be in such a way that it's good for you. It's good for your health. And I've seen so many times, time and time again, especially when I was working as a lawyer, people were so focused on their careers. I need people to see that I am a successful lawyer. I need people to know that I'm rich. I really need to have that kind of financial security. I need to drive the best and newest Mercedes-Benz. I need to make sure that I have a certain amount of financial security. Actually, a lot of times, what you saw in those people is that they were unhealthy in their body. They were stressed. They were constantly anxious. They would have to go to the doctor and get checked out and would have health problems. Commonly, you'd see people with high blood pressure and diabetes and different types of heart disease. Actually, stress is one of the number one leading causes of death in life. What is causing your stress, my friends? Is there some inordinate desire that you have where you don't say, hey, you know what? Lord, give me whatever you think is best for me in my life, and I'll be happy, and I'll be content, and I'll trust you to provide for me. Or do you work inordinately? Try in your own strength like Amnon did, in your own kind of ways, maybe even in deceptive or dishonest ways, to gain the things that you want in your life. That's sometimes a good way to test. Yes, there's something that I want to do. There's something that I want to pursue. There's something that I want to receive. But is the way that you're doing it causing it to be actually bad for your life? Is it bad for your health? And it might be a way to be able to test that. The other things that we see in Amnon, he was doing things that were completely outside the will of God. Such a thing should not be done in Israel. And in your desire to have certain things, are you very willy-nilly and say, hey, you know what, this thing is something that I really like, it's something that I want, and it doesn't matter if I'm not doing it according to God's will. It's not his desire for me. The other thing that we see is he's not doing it, we do it not in God's way. Amnon, actually, rather than going to David and saying, hey, you know what, my sister Tamar, she's beautiful, and you know I'm of an age where I want to get married. Father, I know that she's my half-sister, but would you give me permission to marry her? That was an option according to Tamar's eyes. And she says, certainly he would not withhold me from you. And he didn't want to do it in that way. He wanted to do it in his own way. It wasn't according to his timing. He had such a sense of urgency about having Tamar and having her now that he wasn't willing to wait. Are there things that you've felt that God has spoken to you about in your life? Things that you know that are a part of his plans for you. They're a desire, but you know what? It seems like it's taking too long. It's very hard to wait for the things that God is, that you're asking God to do. And rather than just waiting patiently and trusting that his timing is perfect and that he's going to provide it when the timing is right, do you find yourself frustrated and impatient and doing things in order to be able to get it sooner than what God is asking? And, you know, I think this one is also a significant thing, is the things that you want in your life, have you asked God for it? Certainly Amnon didn't ask anybody's permission in doing what he did to Tamar. But before you pursue things, whether it's a move to a different geography, whether it's a move in terms of your career and changing jobs, whether it's in pursuing a relationship with a potential significant other in your dating life, are you somebody who waits and asks permission first? Or are you presumptuous and you say, well, you know what, I'm not sure God wants this for me, and regardless of whether he permits it or not, I'm going to pursue it. I just need it that bad. If you're finding yourself not wanting to ask God because he might say no, it could be an indication that it's something that is an idol in your heart, that you're pursuing it and you have an inordinate desire for it that could potentially be harmful for you, for the people around you, and something that is not according to God's will for your life. And I just want to give you guys a moment to just kind of think about this. Are there any desires that you have in your heart that actually causes you to be someone who's not a good friend? Maybe for you it might be peace, like you don't want the peace of your life disturbed. Maybe it's related to security. Maybe it's related to money. Maybe it's a romantic relationship. But what are the things that you have in your heart that are desires that you have, maybe even needs that you have? And it's okay to have them. And it might even be God's plan. But maybe the timing's not right. Maybe in the way that he wants to give it to you is different than what you're currently doing. Is there anything that you realize that, hey, Lord, there's just something here. I know it's good for me, and I know you want it for me, but maybe I just want it a little bit too much. My love for you and my trust in you is conditioned on making sure that this thing happens. Do you have any of those types of things? And certainly I want to encourage you to not carry that into this new year from last year. Let's leave that behind. The desires that we have, the things that maybe cause us to be frustrated, and unhappy, let's just leave those things behind. Because, you know, the thing is, Actually, these things that we are so sure we want, these things that we are so sure are going to fill us and give our needs. You know what? If everything in my life was the same, but it just got one thing, this thing, then it's going to be perfect. And what I want to tell you is that, you know, oftentimes we will favor the gift over the gift giver. And we think that actually it's God's blessings and his gifts into my life, the things that he does for me, that is going to be the thing that gives me satisfaction. I mean, it's simply not the case. And we find ourselves disappointed when we actually receive the things that we want. So, you know, I don't know if you guys know this, but Olympic gold medalists, the people that are athletes and they work all of their lives to try to get their success, actually, if somebody goes to the Olympics in their event, whether it's track and field or whether it's basketball, whatever sport there might be, when they get a bronze medal and or a silver medal, actually, it has no impact on their mental health. But what they found, these studies have found, is that a person who wins the gold medal, they end up having a much higher suicide rate than normal and much higher than the people that end up not getting the gold medal. And one of the things that they surmise, what they think, is that, you know what, you work your whole life and you try to get this thing and it's so important to you. This thing is going to mean that I am the best in the world. This thing is going to mean that I didn't waste my life, that I have some meaning and some significance. People are going to remember me. I'm going to be able to stand on that stand and everybody's going to see me and I have that honor and glory that I so need and desire. And then you get it and you realize, actually, man, this hasn't changed anything. Everybody looks around and they see that I've gotten this gold medal and they assume, oh, this guy must be happy. This guy must be thrilled. Everything in his life must be perfect. And it's simply not the case. And a lot of them realize that, oh my gosh, I've wasted my whole life pursuing this thing, desiring this thing. Now I have it and it's not giving me the satisfaction that I wanted. And it causes them to lose hope. It's actually better to get second. Because you know what? When you get a silver medal and everything in your life is still hard and you're not that happy, at least you have a reason. You have an explanation. You can say, hey, you know what? I know I'm unhappy and things aren't going well for me in 2021, but it's because, you know what? I didn't get that gold medal last year. And if I would have been just like that gold medalist who beat me, then I would be happy like him. And at least we have a way of explaining. But sometimes, like Amnon, when we actually get the things that we're desiring, it can cause us to have more hopelessness because it's not giving us the satisfaction that we were so sure it was going to give us. You know, at the end of the day, we can't guarantee that we're going to make ourselves happy. I think sometimes when we think about having New Year's resolutions, I'm going to be more diligent, I'm going to work harder, I'm going to study harder, I'm going to get these grades, I'm going to get into shape, I'm going to make myself look better, then people will like me, then maybe I'll be able to go and find a spouse. You know, we're so sure the way that we operate naturally that we will be able to effort our way in our strength to be able to bring blessing into our life. But the truth is, the brutal reality is that you guys know that there is no way that you can guarantee that you're going to have a good 2021 through your own efforts. There are just things that are outside of control. And I think 2020 taught us that with COVID. There are just things that are outside our control. It's actually the things that God is desiring, the things that are according to his will. And we studied through this series the idea of the word of the Lord. It's his will that gets spoken out, and God's word is different than our word because I can say all kinds of things, make all kinds of promises. I'm going to say, I'm going to make sure that I have a great 2021. But I am a human being, and I can't ensure that. But the things of the Lord, the word of the Lord, he created all of creation through his word. The things that God is wanting to accomplish are going to be accomplished. And I think that happiness is not making sure that we can get all the things that we want in our hearts. It's not even about trying to try our best to be able to get those things into our lives. And I think that true happiness, contentment, is actually recognizing what God's will and purpose is for your life. And as his word is being revealed, as his plan is being revealed, being able to receive it with childlike faith and with a sense of contentment. You know, I'm really hopeful
I'm happy 2020 is over, and I'm looking forward to 2021. But, you know, on the last day, a couple of people gathered at our house around the fireplace, and we spent a lot of time, we spent a little bit of time praying, a lot of time being distracted by the fireworks and the loud noise. But I was just sitting there reflecting. I said, man, 2020 is probably one of the hardest years I've ever experienced. But oh my gosh, God was good. And I'm thankful for everything that happened. I genuinely am, even the things that weren't good and the things that I don't presently understand. And I think this idea of happiness as contentment is something that is for us as Christians. And this is something that is going to be a guarantee this year for us who have a relationship with God. 2 Corinthians 11:23-28. We see that Paul, actually, his life was terrible in a lot of ways. There was no guarantee that he was going to have an easy life or good things. He says, he says, I had more imprisonments with countless beatings, often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. And you're just like, read this, and you're like, man, 2020 was hard, but it was nothing like what Paul experienced like his whole life, right? And there's no guarantee that you're going to have a good life. I mean, I can almost guarantee that none of you guys are going to have a 2021 like Paul's life was. At least let's just pray that that's not the case. I certainly don't want a life like that. But there's also no guarantee that it won't. We don't. We really don't know what 2021 is going to bring and what our life's going to be like. Mitch might die. Or he might become a millionaire. Who knows? We don't know what's going to happen in 2021. But for Paul, it didn't matter whether he had a lot, whether he had a little, whether his life was going good or it was going bad. And he says in Philippians 4, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. In whatever situation I am to be content. 2020, content. 2019, content. 2021, content. If 2021 is terrible, I'm content. If 2021 is the best year of my life ever, and I get every one of my desires, I'm content. And what was his secret? What was his secret? I know how to be brought low and how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And that word strengthens is and dynamao, which is where the word dynamite comes from, right? Light it up like dynamite. The secret of contentment is not listening to a BTS song and pretending like everything is going to be okay. It's actually experiencing the dynamic power of Christ in your life to make you content, no matter what the situation is, no matter what the circumstances are. And we get a little bit deeper glimpse into, well, what does that mean? That he can do all things in Christ who strengthens him. And in chapter 3, he says, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and counted them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. And there are 2 words that really stuck out to me from this passage. It's this idea that of knowing Christ and of gaining Christ. My friends, do you guys want to have a good 2021? I want to encourage you guys to gain Christ. What does it mean to gain Christ? I want to encourage you guys to know Christ. And actually that word know here, the root word is ginosko, which is actually, it's talking about not just head knowledge, knowing in your head,
It's not reading the Bible more, although, you know, it's a good New Year's resolution to have, to read the Bible more. But it's about a deep, intimate connection and experience. It's knowledge through experience. That's what that word means. And it's actually in the Bible used to describe a sexual relationship, having a knowledge of your spouse. So I want you guys in 2021 to gain Christ through having that kind of experiential knowledge of Him and intimacy with Him, having a connection with Him, being in His presence constantly. Because you know what? Pursuing Tamars, pursuing things that promise us that they are going to make us happy, they're going to leave you empty. There is only one love that can satisfy. The secret to happiness and the secret to contentment is experiencing the only love that can satisfy, the love of our Savior Jesus, who loved you so much that He was willing to give up the glories of heaven, even for a little while, humble Himself to come to earth and live the life that you couldn't live, die the death that you deserved, that having defeated sin and death for you on the cross, He might be able to wash you in His blood, make you holy and blameless and without spot, that He might be able to wed you to Himself, that He might be your Savior, He might be your provider, He might be your lover forever. That's what Jesus did for us. And you know what? That was available to us in 2020, and the same Jesus and His amazing love is available for us in 2021 as well. Gain Him. Know Him. Amen? Jesus, we thank You for just who You are, that You are so steadfast, that You are faithful. And Lord, when we look back on 2020 and we think about all the things that were bad news, things that were difficulties and challenges in our lives, but you know what? We cannot say that You weren't faithful, that You didn't provide, that You weren't with us, that Your love for us was the same, and that You made Yourself available. And Lord God, I just pray for all of my brothers and sisters that are in here, and I wish them a happy new year, Lord. I wish them many blessings and giftings in this coming new year. But Lord, more so than anything else, even if it means suffering the loss of everything else, Lord, would You allow them to be able to gain You, that they would have You more, that they would know You more, that they would find themselves in Your presence more and more, experiencing Your dynamic, powerful love in such a way that they have a love, that they have a joy, that they have a peace, they have a contentment, that they have a happiness that surpasses all understanding. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.